This is Daylight Magazine, coming to you from Adventist World Radio Ghana, the voice of hope.
AWR Ghana, voice of hope. Voice of
hope. Today's Daylight Magazine has segments designed with you in mind. Stay tuned and be blessed.
We can never pay, but from my heart, I like to say that I thank you. So thank you, Jesus, for the grace that you have
for our reflections, we shall look at
Genesis 36, verse 31 to 43.
These were the kings who reigned in Edom before any Israelite king reigned. Bela, son of Beor, became king of Edom. His city was named Dinhaba. When Bela died, Jobab, son of Zerah from Bozrah, succeeded him as king. When Jobab died, Husham from the land of the Temanites succeeded him as king. When Husham died, Hadad, son of Bedad, who defeated Midian in the country of Moab, succeeded him as king. His city was named Avit. When Hadad died, Samla from Masrekah succeeded him as king. When Samla died, Shaul from Rehoboth on the river succeeded him as king. When Shaul died, Baal-Hanan, son of Achbor, succeeded him as king. When Baal-Hanan, son of Achbor, died, Hadad succeeded him as king. His city was named Pau, and his wife's name was Mehetabel, daughter of Matred, the daughter of Mizahab. These were the chiefs descended from Esau, by name, according to their clans and regions: Timnah, Alva, Jetheth, Oholibamah, Elah, Pinah, Kenaz, Timan, Mibzah, Magdiel, and Iram. These were the chiefs of Edom, according to their settlements in the land they occupied. This was Esau, the father of the Edomites.
You just listened to the audio version of
Genesis 36, verse 31 to 43. What
do you choose? Eternal damnation in hellfire or eternal life in a golden city? Hell was not made for any man but the devil. Dear listener, don't allow him to deceive you to sin to join him in hell. Accept Jesus Christ today as your personal Savior. Get baptized into a true Bible-believing church and live daily for the Lord with the help of the Holy Spirit. Your eternal life will be guaranteed. God bless you.
There's a place in your heart, and I know that it is love. And a place that was brighter than tomorrow. And if you really try, find there's no need to cry. This place, you feel there's no hurt or sorrow. There are ways to get there if you care enough for the living. Make a little space, make a better place.
Welcome back, dear listeners. If you just tune in, the program is Go Green. We were discussing renewable resources, part 2. And today we are talking about handling waste, what we call as waste, or anything that we see as waste. We have our resource person here, Mr. Akon Kakari Uria. And I'm your host, Jemima Essien. We are done with harvesting rainwater and how it can be done.
want to move on to another material that can be recycled. That is other waste material that comes from us. Excuse my language, feces. Is it good or it ends just in the pit? Is there any use for it? Can anything good come out of that?
No, it doesn't end there. Let me be a bit spiritual here. God didn't create anything waste.
All right.
Everything has a use, even from what we eat. Like the Go Green advert says, from what we eat, we breathe, everything has a purpose. Now, what we've eaten is good. What comes out? I don't want to say it's good, but it's good. Okay. It's also good. The feces that we pass out is also good.
And good in what sense?
Yes. It's good if we get the right use for it.
Okay.
And the right use is to use it for agricultural purposes.
Really?
Not only for agricultural purposes. We talked about biogas.
Yes.
So
yes.
Aside biogas, it's good for agricultural purposes. I don't know if you've experienced it before, but sometimes...
Go ahead.
Let me just say, like urine, we pass out some of our nutrients through our feces. So, like the urine, it's equally good for agricultural purposes. It also has to go through the same preparation process.
Like treatment?
Treatment.
Okay.
Okay. You have to treat it before you use it. Because when it comes to feces, it needs much more attention.
Yeah.
Compared to
urine. Okay.
Feces requires much more attention because all the bacteria, the virus, the prions can be found in abundance in the feces. So much more attention should be given to it. So there is a use, a very good use, and it can be used in the agricultural field.
Okay. It can be used in the agricultural field. In what way? How can it be used in agriculture? Do we just gather the feces and then just take it to the farm? Or in what way? How can it be used in the agriculture field?
Let me start by one. In Japan in the 12th century, they introduced the practice of reusing human excreta for agriculture, which lasted until the middle of the 19th century.
Japan?
Japan.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, farmers were buying the feces from people house to house refuse collection.
Really? In Japan?
Yes, in Japan.
So in a nutshell, it was like a form of business.
Yeah. Okay. So like we said during the urine discussion, to reduce poverty, to increase nutrition.
Yeah.
Same can be applied here. So imagine you collecting your poo and selling it. You make some amount of money. It's not weird, is it? But you pay for your pieces to be collected, don't you?
Yes.
So why is it that instead of paying, now you take money? So that's on the lightness, but that's how it's come down. Some time ago, I heard on the news, is it one of the sister stations where it was reported that in some parts of Ghana, some assembly actually pay people to take their excreta.
Okay.
So it's something that I don't know how far they've gone with that. But this is not the first time it's being practiced. Back in the 12th century, it was practiced by Japan. China also practiced the same thing. India and Sweden.
Okay.
They practice that. But it all goes through purification process because it will be consumed at the end of the day by humans. Okay, then most of our disease are passed through these feces. So when it comes to the human excreta, we have to store them for over 12 months. Whereas in urine, you can store them over 6 months. So it's twice that of urine.
Okay.
So when in feces, you store them over 12 months, then you can use... During that period, you can be sure that most of the bacteria are dead because it will be stored under high temperature. And because of sometimes the water content, okay, if you really want to collect your human excreta. Mm-hmm. Like it's being practiced in Valley View here. They designed their BBT. What's the name? The full
Mbega biological toilet.
Thank you.
Actually, it was from some Germans.
Great.
Okay.
But I'm sure some Ghanaians out there can also have a better way of doing it.
Yes.
But what the Germans did is that they have a bin. Like, even in Ghana here, we're doing that, except that this one is a bit modified. Mm. And when you go to, the villages or even sometimes the boarding school, we have the
KVIP.
The KVIP. But this time around, there were some cans under it.
Okay.
These aluminium cans. Mm. And in the night, they said it's a female or come.
Okay.
So you just.
I think I've heard something like
something
that.
Something like that. Yeah. Mm. It was really mostly practiced in the village. But this time around, we used the dustbins filled with sawdust so that this sawdust can absorb the water contents.
Okay.
In the excreta. And also, I don't know how it does it, but it doesn't allow you to give it bad odor.
Yeah.
So when you fill the container with sawdust to some level, place it under your...
Under the seat or under the toilet seat.
Under the toilet seat.
Okay.
You pull in it. It's collected in that. When it's full, you go, you exchange it, put the new one there. And you go keep the collected one somewhere under a closed environment. That wouldn't allow the exchange of air so that heat can be built in it. Over some time, you can be assured that some bacteria will be dead. And you don't, mostly, we don't apply it directly to the field.
Mm.
You take it, especially use it in compost making.
Yeah.
You gather some dry leaves, some fresh ones. You incorporate them. It also helps in the breakdown of the whole matter and also the killing of some pathogens in there.
Okay.
So you go through that process, then you use it on your field.
Your field, your agric field. Okay. I think maybe that one will be dry.
Yes, it will be dry.
Okay. Feces can be used to generate power. Is it true? How? Can it be done locally in our homes?
Yes, Anita, if you are listening or if you did listen last week, feces can be used to generate power.
Okay.
Last week we talked about biogas.
Okay.
And in biogas, we use feces in doing that. So it can be done in our homes. Just simple way of doing it. Dig your hole, get a good container. Because in this situation, we advise that you seek for professional advice in the design of the container because the smell it will give out, okay, the heat during the digestion process. So it can be done at home, somewhere. You divert your feed into it. The digestion takes place. Your gas is produced. You channel it to your kitchen or wherever you want to make good use of it. Then you have your energy source.
Okay, okay. Yeah. So it's possible. It can be done, but you need to see an expert in that field.
Anita can visit Valley View to see a sample for us.
Okay, okay. You can come. All right, then, Mr. Kakari, your last words as we are about ending the program.
I just want to say that nothing of nature is a waste. No. Artificial fertilizers currently account for most of the nutrients needed by food crops, while human excreta contain virtually all the nutrients plants require. So now that we pay people to collect our human excreta, now people can pay us to collect our human excreta. It's just a way of packaging it well. Okay, this comes to branding. So, yes, that's what I'll say.
I want to say a big thank you to all our listeners out there and to our technician, Ali Musa Kofi Inti. You've been great and we are so thankful. Thank you so much.
Make it a better place for you and for me and the entire human race. There are people dying and we care enough for living.
For any inquiries or contribution, you can contact us on 233-2087-04532 or 0244-2087-0244. 2023-5017 or email us at radio@vvu.edu.gh or through the postal address Adventist World Radio Ghana, P.O. Box AF-595, Adenta, Greater Accra Region, Ghana. We will expect your feedback.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope. Voice of Hope.
Decided to turn your life over to Jesus. I'm so glad you decided to let him be. Oh, there's a new hope on your face, and there's a new hope
for
in
you and for me.
For you and
see on the portal, he's waiting. Watching for you and
hello, my dear listener. You are welcome to Moment of Truth. Sit back, relax, while I present to you a continuation of Dr. Kranting Pepem's sermon on Faithful Unto Death.
Justification is the work of the Spirit for us. He declares you justified. The work is done for you. One time, God has done it for you. Sanctification is the work of Christ in us. He begins to reshape us. Justification, Christ saves us from our past sins. In sanctification, Christ keeps us today from a life of sin. In justification, it is an instantaneous event. The moment you repent, that very moment you are pardoned. Instantaneous. Sanctification is a lifetime event. Justification, there can be no justification without sanctification. Once your sins are pardoned, you don't get stuck there. You work to live holy life. And the same way, there cannot be sanctification without justification. The two go hand in hand. If that is clear, say amen. So you can understand holiness as the twofold work of the Spirit in our lives, justification and sanctification. You can also think of holiness as a school in which you would never graduate. In the school of holiness, God trains us. He rebuilds us to reflect His character. Anytime you go to any school, if you want to do well, in every good school, you need good teachers. Good teachers can help you do well in school. So if holiness is a school, our teachers in the school of holiness are the Holy Trinity. They themselves are holy, so they can help you to be holy. As you have a relationship with God the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. God the Father is holy. He said, I am holy, be holy. Jesus is holy. The Holy Spirit is holy. These are our teachers. And as long as you have a meaningful relationship with them, they can help you to be holy. If that's clear, say amen. Our textbook in the school of holiness, in every school, if you want to do well, besides good teachers, you also need good textbook. The book that can make us holy is called the Holy Bible. It is a holy book. 2 Timothy 3, Paul writing to Timothy said, from a child you have known the holy scriptures, for it is they which make you wise unto salvation. If you want to be holy, there is only one book that you can study and become holy. It is the Holy Bible. Not your chemistry book. Not your physics books. Not some Newsweek magazine. Not some junk magazine. Not any scholar's work. The only book that can make you holy is the Bible. And that is why you cannot depart from the Bible. If it's clear, say amen. The standard. In any school, they have some academic standards. In the school of holiness, the standard is the holy law. Romans 7:12. Wherefore the law is holy. The longer or the more you keep comparing yourself to your friends, you think you are okay. But when you look at your life in the light of God's moral law, then you discover the problem. The standard we must measure ourselves with is the holy law. our goal, every school has a goal. If you said engineering school, you have a goal. If you did business, there is a goal. Our goal in the school of holiness is holy service. Romans 12, 1, Luke 1, 74. Our helpers in every school, you need grad assistants to teach you, to help you. Our helpers in the school of holiness are the holy angels. They are holy, and so they can help you. They would intervene where necessary. Our classmates in any school of holiness are our fellow believers. The Bible calls them saints. Believe it or not, your fellow church members have been placed in your life to help you to become holy. Your roommates have been placed in your life to make you holy. Yes, they may upset you and annoy you and test your patience, but God has placed them there so that you would know the flaws in your life and ask God for help. Our classmates are our fellow believers. No Christian is a lone ranger. You need others to help you. And our role model, the one who has made an A with distinction in the school of holiness, is our Lord Jesus Christ. Think of holiness not only as a twofold work of the Spirit, but think of it as a school in which you would never graduate. If it's clear, say amen. You can also think of holiness as a spiritual walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. The walk of holiness, sometimes in the Bible, it is defined as growing in grace or spiritual growth. And in this walk of holiness, you need two legs. Every walk, you need two legs. The legs of holiness are ethics and spirituality. Without one of these legs, a person either limps or is crippled in his Christian walk. Well, I put some Bible text there to show you. Genesis 5:24 talks about Enoch. The Bible says, Enoch walked with God. When you go to Hebrews 11, verse 5, the same Enoch, we are told, for he pleased God. So walking with God, translated into pleasing God, his attitude of a meaningful relationship with God transposed itself into an act. So the two legs of holiness are ethics and spirituality. You need both legs. I would explain what I mean. When we say spirituality, what we are talking about is spirituality deals with the inward development of one's relationship with God. Spirituality is inward. It deals with your relationship with God. It is an attitude of devotion and reverence for God, and it is the motivation for holiness. When we say ethics, ethics deals with your outward commitment to God. It is the actions or behavior that are pleasing to God. It is the evidence of holiness. Let me say it again. Spirituality, one of the legs of holiness, is inward. It's relationship with God. It is an attitude of devotion and reverence. It is the motivation to be holy. Ethics deals with the outward evidence of your commitment. You see, spirituality talks about relationship, relationship, relationship. Ethics talks about commitment, commitment, commitment. The two go hand in hand. The evidence that you have a meaningful relationship with Christ is your commitment to him. That's what Jesus said. If you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. If you have a relationship with me, keep my commandments. Spirituality, relationship, keep my commandments, ethics. If that is clear, say amen. Spirituality involves such things as prayer. Remember, it's an attitude of devotion. Prayer, meditation, fasting, good quality music, simplicity. Those things we do to enhance our relationship with Christ fall under spirituality, and ethics reveals your true character in such things as truthfulness, integrity, honesty, modesty, kindness, patience, and the rest. Another word for ethics is Christian lifestyle, and another word for spirituality is Christian piety. These are the two legs of holiness. Ethics is the what of holiness. What does holiness entail? Ethics tells you. Spirituality is the how of holiness. Let's say God in ethics says you must be truthful at all times. How do you do so? Spirituality will tell you. Day by day, as you study God's word, you pray, you drink deep at his table, he imparts in you a spirit of truthfulness. Ethics, what of holiness? Spirituality, how of holiness? Ethics prescribes. It tells you what you ought to do. Spirituality describes. If I use the analogy of a tree, ethics is growing tall. Spirituality is growing deep. You sink your roots deep. Ethics talks about the law of Christ. Spirituality, the life of Christ. Ethics talks about the character of God. Spirituality talks about devotion to God. Ethics is lovingly doing God's will. Spirituality is appropriating God's resources. Ethics is pleasing God. And spirituality is walking with God. These are the two legs of holiness. Without any one of them, your walk is going to be crippled, or at best, you'll be limping.
You've just been listening to Dr. Kranting Pippin's sermon. A continuation will be brought to you later. Hope you were blessed.
Thank you very much for staying with us. Once again, you can reach us on 233-2087-04532 or 0244-235-017 or email us at radio@vvu.edu.gh or through the postal address Adventist World Radio Ghana, P.O. Box AF-595, Adenta, Greater Accra Region, Ghana. We will expect your feedback.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope.
I believe today's magazine has been a blessing. May the good Lord's hand be in your life. Amen. Remember to tune in same time tomorrow. Bye for now.